Okay, hey, we're live. Being human and being raised in the world, we have a lot of things that we really don't understand about spiritual things, because for the most part the world doesn't want to accept it. And at the same time, we've been talking about something lately that has been a puzzler for me as well as everybody else, but we got strange scriptures, and I want to read one. For God is my witness, this is in Romans 1:9, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Did you hear what I just read? Mm-hmm. Whom I serve with my spirit. And he mentions several places. He says, when they're going to go out, he says, my spirit will go with you. And he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's somehow of a connection that we have. Well, in the 8th chapter of Romans, we're familiar in the 7th chapter of Paul, what Paul has to say. But anyway, I'm not so sure that they put a capital S on spirit, but it says there's no condemnation to them who, in Christ Jesus, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, it could be the Holy Spirit, but it could also be both. Because one of the things that God wants, when we're born of the Spirit, we're supposed to be born into a spirit realm, which means that our spirit begins, we begin to lean towards our spirit rather than the flesh. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So we're working on the spirit side of our whatever we are. And which I'm thrashing around at it, because I'm not really sure what the picture is either. It's more than what we know. Let's put it that way. But there's a spirit part of me. Some people call it a conscience. And it maybe affects the conscience, where when people do something that's wrong, they know it's wrong. If the only ones that could do something wrong and not know it would be an animal. You know what I mean? But people are built that we have a something that would we, when we're wrong, we know we're wrong, even if we weren't Christians. That's why people drink. To block that. You know what I mean? It works. I don't encourage it. I'm just saying it works.
For a time.
Yeah. For a short time, it works. For a short time.
Okay, it says, they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. And it's like, I come in here?
No. If you look at 1 Corinthians 14:15, I think it's interesting, the combination there. I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing with my understanding. We're talking a lot about my spirit, or Jesus referencing my spirit, and there's tying my spirit with my understanding.
Well, after our conversation, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I got my my concordance out, and I looked at the word spirit and the references. There are hundreds of references where it talks about the spirit of man. I know we have one. I just don't, there's no way that we just don't know how it operates. But somehow, I think when it says if you walk after the spirit, I think we're talking about leaving the flesh realm, and the flesh has no relationship with the spirit. And we're moving into the spirit man, or what is it, how's that worded? Not spirit man, that's not the word, but and we'll walk after the spirit. I'm not so sure it's just walking after the Holy Spirit, although that is part of it. Because the flesh can't walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It has to have some connection to our spirit. Do you follow me? It's something we're doing, and we don't even know what we're doing.
Talking about this, see, we really don't know. We don't.
Not a clue.
But that doesn't mean that we won't know.
Yeah.
And there's, I started looking up. And for example, there's, it talks about the spirit of Jacob, and then it says and they came in the spirit of Elijah. What does that mean? You know what I mean? And then God, it says, I will give them the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of truth. But then there's another place that says that, and God will, I can't remember the spirit, but it wasn't a good spirit. It was a bad spirit. Like, not bad as a demon, but it was like, I want to make this up, but it was like, and I'm going to give them the spirit of confusion, for example. It's like something that you wouldn't want to, but it also came from God,
Yeah.
And then there's another place that says I will take of my spirit and give it to them, says other places. Like it's like he takes portions, but also says so only says for example test the spirits, if the spirits are of God, they'll confess that Jesus came in the flesh. If the spirits confess otherwise, they're not of God. So there's spirits. But at the same time, it says someplace also, that we will be of one spirit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the one spirit, the out of that one spirit, there comes the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of truth, the spirit of wisdom. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not saying I know anything. I'm just saying what I see, But there was an interesting scripture that I quoted in church about what the spirit of man was. I don't know if I can find it quickly, but anyway, if you guys got something to say, speak quickly. It'll take me a while to find this thing, but
I think we're getting a little deep into this, but we're all individual spirits that are sitting here, okay, and we're all trying to reach our goal to become one spirit as a group in God or Jesus. Well, but we're all individual spirits. The flesh desires the flesh, but the spirit in us desires the spirit from above.
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting here thinking. So if I have the spirit, I have a spirit. I want it to be totally influenced by the Spirit of God.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I don't know if that spirit would have that same goal until I was born again.
Right. But the potential is there.
Yes.
If you weren't born, if you didn't have and nobody wants to call it the human spirit yet, but if you didn't have that when you were born, you wouldn't have that desire. I don't think.
Well, yeah, right.
So,
well, it's there to be influenced one way or another.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It's the whichever one of the spirits you want to pick. You want to pick the good spirit or you want to pick the bad spirit. It's who you like.
Yeah.
Which one you choose.
You know, 1 Corinthians 6:15, it says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it still talks about spirits.
Yeah.
For by one spirit we are all baptized. And have all been made to drink into one spirit.
I want to just make a statement that based on what something that I as Glenn was talking, I don't think that it's possible to become one in the flesh. I mean, a man and a woman are supposed to become one in the flesh, but I don't know that it's possible to have unity of the flesh.
No.
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
No way. Go ahead, Keith.
So it has to be the spirit of man. You know what I mean? It has to be the spirit that God puts in us that it can be unified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it can only be unified through God. It can only happen through, and it happens only through the Word.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's that word that was that made up. It's 1 Samuel 16:14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. So this is, distressing. Huh?
It don't sound fair.
No, but these are distressing spirit from the Lord.
Knowing the hearts of men, that's the thing.
And so then what did they do? Saul had this spirit on him, it was an evil spirit, and God gave it to him. So he gets David in there to play the harp to soothe that spirit. David would come in. I mean, he was a young man, and he'd play the harp, and then the spirit would leave or something. I don't know what happened.
Back off or something. Calm it.
Look at this. The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.
Well, Elisha, I don't remember what river that was that they crossed it.
Right.
And Elisha told him, he said, I want to see you taken up. And he says, and I want a double portion of your spirit. I want twice the whatever it was that you have. I mean, it's a strange thing to ask, but, you know, I'm sure God was behind asking him. And I don't know this for a fact, but I heard that there are twice as many supernatural things that happened that Elisha did, twice as many as Elijah did.
Now, look at this. But there is a spirit in a man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, No, I'm saying it's interesting.
If God wants to give your spirit understanding, you'll get it.
Mm-hmm. So there's a whole, we think we're gaining some ground. There's so much here that we don't get. You know, it's so far beyond our. You know, what chance does my mind have of figuring this out?
But it's kind of making sense that this has been a topic because the one thing I've been feeling for a couple weeks is that it's definitely a spirit thing that has to happen. I mean, we really got to start being really connected to the Spirit of God is what's going to take us on.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's in a spiritual realm, so you got to be careful how you think, because it's not going to happen with a fleshly mind or anything.
See, God is spirit.
Right.
And we can't connect our flesh with the Spirit of God.
No.
We connect to God through spirit. You know what I mean?
And that the thing that came up about made in His image and God has a soul, well, we have a soul and we have a spirit. And God is spirit and He has a soul. So
That affected me just like it affected you. Yeah,
that makes us really, that gives us potential to, to have His divine nature.
And to understand how we're made in His image.
Right.
This is the scripture I quoted in church. The spirit of a man, Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So the spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord.
Yeah, I have a word for that.
What?
The spirit within a man is a tattletale.
Yeah.
He gives you away.
to God.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's to other men.
No.
I don't necessarily think it's to other men. It's just...
Anyway, I didn't mean it in a bad way, but I mean, that's what you know.
Look at this, and I thought it was interesting also. Who knows the spirit of the sons of man, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to earth? So animals have a spirit.
I think that everything has a spirit in order to live.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the spirit of the animal is like a temporary, it must be like a temporary thing, and this goes back down to earth.
Yeah. Where was that?
This is Ecclesiastes 3:21.
Ecclesiastes 3:21. Wow. Yeah, I don't go there and read too often.
Yeah, no. I'll send it to you.
But that's interesting. I've never heard that said about about the animal.
I've never even thought that way.
No, about it. I know nothing goes to heaven. I mean,
not all dogs go to heaven.
No, I mean they don't really have a soul. No. I don't think
they got a personality.
They got whatever God put in them. But
it was interesting, searching a little bit on my spirit. You know, Jesus talks about, I'll put my spirit will go with you. Peter talks, my spirit I'll send with you. So there's a lot of references, you know, and then there's many references to God says my spirit. You know, you just have to be, whether he's referring to the Holy Spirit in that case, but there is definitely within man your spirit.
Mm-hmm. And I think when they're saying those things, they're speaking in the realm of the spiritual good part of God. You know, the born again spirit, whatever, the Christianity spirit, or you know, the gospel spirit, I guess. You know, part of them that says, "I'll go with you."
Because most references when I did a search were, the spirit within you is not God; it was a demon. So it's. You know, and that's why this whole thing about God's spirit or the fullness of God within you, you know, that ties into where you are with your spirit and what you're understanding. But as you say, there's a lot of speculation going on as to what we think we might be knowing.
Yeah, I'm kind of decided I didn't want to try to discuss it a whole bunch because I don't think I know anything at this point.
You know what? Look, it's like
a little, but not a lot.
We will. God will open the door.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with that. I think what's really been revealing though was I hadn't been thinking along these lines because I didn't realize that was part of the promise. You know, until we put shone a little more light on it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, this is clearly part of the walk and what's going on. Doesn't mean I got it. It just means that it's something more to be looking for.
In John, I was reading in John today, you know, and you get into 14, 15, 16, 17. Jesus is saying, He wants all of us to be one spirit with God. I mean, that's his whole purpose was, Lord, you know, Father, make them one spirit as we are with us and us and them and we and them and, you know. So, the whole emphasis that God is the one that you want to be hooked up to. And Jesus said, well, I'm the light and I came, he sent me. And that's why he sent me, so that we can all become one in him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that, and Jesus says, I am the light that has come, that you may not be in darkness. Well, in that whole thing, I think, today it seemed like, when I read it, is you have to, first of all, you have to know who the Father is. And if you have a wrong concept of who God is, you're in darkness part of the way. You know, you might have some light, but you're in darkness. And if you don't see who Jesus is in relationship, then you're not getting the true light. You know? And I think that's it's why it's that important that you understand that who he is, you know, that he was a man and that he did all this. Of course he was anointed, filled with God's Spirit, you know, but the fact is he was, and the way he's talking and making us one with him, it's like you need to understand that or you're not getting the full gospel. You know?
I think those books become almost non-understandable until you have that revelation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a total miss.
And that, I'm just constantly thinking about that, kind of the promise he made that I will send you the Helper, the Spirit of Truth. And I mean, and it says it lots of different ways, but it's like, and he will give you all truth, bring you into all truth. And that's quite a promise. You know, and it says everything that I have said, I'll make known to you. Whether you know it right now, I will make it known to you. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's not like that we're not supposed to know.
Are you ready? For another aspect here? Receiving, let me see. Who having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, are you ready? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What do you mean the Spirit of Christ? What does that mean? Why did it say the Holy Spirit? Because that was, as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. God can do whatsoever he wants. If he wants to borrow his Son ahead of time and put him in the very end, the beginning and say, I want you to create the world, everything through my word. He can do it. We can't limit God in any way.
Now, after hearing what you were saying, though, it says God will give a spirit of this and a spirit of that. And so, he could have gave them the Spirit of Christ before Christ had the Spirit.
Well, yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, now that I think of it like you're saying, God can distribute spirit however he wants. And
see, that's probably our answer, although...
And, you know, because he said the Spirit of Christ, which is the anointed one, or, you know, I mean, it's kind of referring to the position, almost, or something.
I wonder, so it's... Don't quote me. I mean, it's not.
Well, we're all wondering.
Okay. So. Yes. Okay. But if to bring the Spirit is a thing that is a God thing, so maybe we don't have we will never have the right words to even explain. But I wonder if Spirit is like saying a little bit like the likeness or like a personality or the abundance or the. Look like, you know, when you say the Spirit of Christ, he's like, well, it will be like Christ. He will be meek and he will be this and he will be,
Well, they had a somewhat of a foresight that something was going to come, a Messiah or whatever. But it says, but couldn't have it in their time. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like they foresaw it to a degree. Isn't that the way it puts it, Keith? In that setting there,
yeah.
So you know.
You know, let's say you have the spirit of a so-and-so, and then the so-and-so is a given person and whatever, so then that's the spirit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, he was a real loving guy.
Okay, a kind guy.
So he had a spirit of kindness.
Right. A spirit, one place it's called the spirit of meekness.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So you can have lots of spirits,
Well, hopefully we have more good ones.
Well, maybe just one spirit, and it manifests in different.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the way. Because obviously, you can certainly have a lot of demons.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and
why can't you have a lot of the other, God's spirit
and
attribute or whatever?
What is the fullness? The fullness of God has got to imply, an abundance and a purity of right-minded thinking, or a fullness or amount of the Holy Spirit. So,
that's one. I shouldn't speak until you're done.
Well, I don't have much to say. I'm guessing a lot of this.
Yeah, I should wait until you're. But okay, that's one thing that all of a sudden, when I was through this week, it made me think. Okay, you have a lot. You have demons, right? But isn't like a demon is the equivalent to an angel, but of God? So in the God side, you have an angel, but in the devil side, you have a demon.
An angel. Mm-hmm.
So a demon is basically the opposite of an angel, but.
They were angels.
But you can have a demon in you, but you also have an evil spirit. So we don't have an angel in us. It doesn't say, the Bible does say, he has a demon. He's from Beelzebub or whatever. But nowhere it says, he has an angel in him.
Well, that's exactly the point that I think I was kind of getting to. If you look at the Old Testament seems to be like 80% bad, 20% good. So for every time there was you could pray and be right in God's eyes, and that's good. But boy, if you were wrong in God's eyes, it was five times more books. I think it was the beginning of fire and brimstone preaching, because you go through the Old Testament, it's like, oh, I'm going to be smiting you. But to that point, The concept of having more than a demon or in part of your spirit is not foreign. The concept of having more than one godly spirit is not something that's ever talked about, other than the way I was just saying, where there's this kind of vague, the fullness. I mean, I always look at the setting when Jesus is baptized. And I when I'm being whimsical, I go, I know when I was born again that the heavens didn't part. There wasn't a dove that came down and landed on me, and nobody heard a voice. But when Jesus was baptized, that happened, and I think that was to signify he was getting the fullness of the Holy Spirit, whereas not so much for moi. And that's how I've always been trying to balance it out. Now, it's certainly in my limited understanding would be possible that more than one angel could be involved in our spirit at a particular time.
I believe that for sure.
But we never really talk about that way. But I believe that is true.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking that this, all of a sudden, there's a little door opening here, I think.
Yeah.
See, because if you can have countless amounts of evil spirits affecting you, well, then there's got to be countless amounts of godly spirits. Right. And it says he will send ministering spirits.
Mm-hmm. Plural.
Yeah, ministering plural spirits. So we probably, if we start opening ourselves up to, who knows? That's exciting. That gets exciting when you start thinking about it.
That's how you get the fullness of God, right?
Yeah.
Let me, in the King James, I don't know how it is in that. I haven't checked up this in another translation. But in the second chapter of Hebrews, make sure I get the right verse here. It might be in the first chapter. Oh, I'm down about six chapters. So the Bible's ripped so bad. That's towards the first part of Hebrews. And does anybody have any other translation besides the King James?
I'll look it up. So as you give it,
I just have the new.
I got the American Standard. But where are you reading?
Okay, it's the last. It's verse 14 of the first chapter. It's ripped so bad I couldn't see it here. Oh. It says, talking about angels, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to for those who shall be heirs of salvation? They're all of the angels were sent forth by God to be ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. See, God has made us a lot more important to Him than what we realize.
Yeah,
we're important to God. That's why it says, don't neglect such a, how's it?
Yeah, I know it.
Vital salvation. Don't neglect it. Don't ignore it, because this is a vital, important something to God. So that's why he holds people guilty, you know, if they just ignore his promises. What does it say in the other ones?
Well, pretty much the same thing. But it's interesting. It phrases a question so much that are they not angels minister? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? That's the NIV. The English Standard Version says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" Again, the question mark. New American Standard Bible. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?
So they all have that purpose.
Yeah, Contemporary English Version. Angels are merely spirits sent to serve people who are going to be saved. And the Good News Translation, which I think Charlie likes.
Well,
what are the angels then? Question mark. They are spirits who serve God and are sent by Him to help those who are to receive salvation.
There was one word in there that I was dwelling on. It says, are they not all? Mm-hmm. Are not all of them?
Well, King James, are they not all? The Berean study says, are not the angels ministering spirits? Berean literal, are they not all? Christian Standard, are they not all ministering spirits?
You see what I'm saying?
The International Standard Version, all of them are spirits of on a divine mission. But, you know, and I think this is why this is a little bit murky. I mean, it's the NSV, are not all of them are spirits on a divine mission, comma, sent to serve those who are about to inherit salvation, comma, aren't they? Question?
That one there, it's kind of like, I'm going to think of a really eloquent way to say this.
Right.
You know?
Well, but I mean, they all end in a question mark, even King James.
Well, yeah, but...
But I mean, it's like...
But I think the way he's putting it, it's like, and the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unexpected.
Right.
And the point, and here's the point that has hit me, is that we are so valuable. These are God's angels. You know what I mean? These are His holy, holy angels. We are so valuable to Him that He is whatever it takes to help us to make it, to help us make decisions, whatever it takes.
Right.
Well, here, this will throw you a little. Chapter 2, verse 1, 2. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. I should probably read 2:1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away.
Yeah, yeah.
For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, when did angels speak? You know?
When I looked up the...
Of course, angels did come and speak for the Lord, though. I mean, He used them to speak for Him.
They were His messenger.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. When you look it up, almost in every case here, and the definition of spirit, it's all it says is wind or breath.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not tangible.
No, and so...
It's kind of like wind... When it's supposed to be understood by man clearly, I mean, there's words, the angels delivering that message. But when it's the Holy Spirit, and it's a little bit more like giant rushing wind or power, then we talk about it as Holy Spirit and more.
Yeah.
It's kind of like tongues or non-tongues. When God wants you to know, He sends an angel and it's plain spoken, and you get a message.
Yeah.
And when there's power... That seems to come in the form of a mighty rushing wind.
That was in Acts. The second chapter, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said last week, you know, this, our spirit goes back to God. So, you know, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it will return to God who gave it. You know. So we have the Spirit of God that gives us life, but then I think we have other spirits.
So that kind of explains that God can say anything He wants because He's had everybody's spirit from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, everything came from Him.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when Jesus says, well, you knew me before the foundations of the earth, well, yeah.
It came from Him. Yeah. It was just. I mean, it was.
He knew all of us before that,
right? Whatever is created, came from God. So God knew. He knew all about Himself all the time.
Yeah. And you know, I read the one today, and it says, "Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the foundations of the world at creation." Mm-hmm. Well, I thought. So it's, you know, now Jesus, who was always communing with His Father, I mean, it's probably, I mean, I think you could say the Father said, yeah, I had you planned from way back before I ever formed the earth, you know, and you were in my glory. Who knows, you know?
Off the subject of hair, but kind of still, Proverbs 1:23 says, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. So, you know, prepare the Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit on you, but you already had that Spirit. So He's putting more Spirit? I don't know.
Sure.
You know? More fullness.
Yeah.
More understanding, more more of the Holy Spirit in Revelation.
You know, and when he gave a spirit in the Old Testament, it was different than what you get with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, he would put his spirit on them to do mm-hmm. his work or bidding or whatever. And then it didn't necessarily mean it stayed all the time, you know. He just used them and whatever, you know, because they were after his heart. Some of them he influenced to do the kind of wicked things, which, you know, that was just, I don't think that was necessarily given his spirit. That was just influencing them with the God only way God can.
God being God.
Yeah, God being God.
Yeah. And it was all working to his glory. It
right.
was all good.
Yeah.
But he hardened somebody's heart.
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's, yeah.
Kendi was singing a song this morning. Because she's my wife, you know. Like, her. She was singing, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
I told her, do you know what that... You did not decide to follow Jesus. It wasn't your decision. And then I went a little bit into, you know, God. I mean, Jesus is truth, and then the reason why you're following him is because the love of the truth was given to you, and so that decision was made for you.
It was because God. I mean, Jesus said, the Father gave me those that he wanted.
Right, right. So I told
him. And his disciples and everybody else.
That's what I told him. So
yeah.
You actually were chosen.
Right.
You didn't decide to be chosen.
And he says.
Which is grace.
He
you know.
Says, you didn't choose to be.
I chose you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, it's totally fine to say I have decided to follow Jesus. I was just, you know, making conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't let her off the hook. On the other hand,
that's that humanness.
You still made the choice, even though he chose. I mean, Jesus could have come along and said, Peter, follow me.
Keep following.
And Peter says, I don't think so. There's really fish are biting, not today. You know, right. And considering he went after fishermen, mm-hmm. and they went, that's right. Even a bigger miracle.
Well, yeah, actually, it is.
Peter only denied him three times. He said he went.
Yeah.
And he did.
And he did. So, this whole... The whole following and who follows who and free will. It's just, and, yeah, it was his free will. God hardened his heart.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think I decided I'm going to be hard about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you go, it was human.
Yeah.
That's very fallible.
Yeah.
Or it was fallible or whatever.
Yeah, it's
he wasn't perfect.
Slippery slope.
That's very puzzling, you know, that, you know, I have chosen you. You know, even Jesus, you know, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those that you have given me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a partial prayer. It's only for, you know.
Super
weird.
Yeah.
Super weird.
Well, even when we were talking about these scriptures about the angels, and they're saying, you know, for those who are going to inherit salvation. I mean, it was kind of like, I'm not going to send angels down to those that aren't.
And that's true.
And
yeah,
it is saying that. So it's like, not going to waste an angel on someone who's lost and is not, grace isn't going to be extended or is not going to be able to get there. It's kind of kind of like, so you really want God thinking he's going to send you angels. Because it implies that if he's not, you're not inheriting salvation.
I can see from the whole picture how people can come up with eternal security and, you know, what's saved, always saved. And but that's really not, the answer is in God's foreknowledge. We do make the decision that saved our soul. But God knows that we're going to do that or not do that. That's what makes it, you know, so Jesus can say, I just pray for those that God has given me. Well, God knows whether they're going to accept him or not.
Mm.
True.
You know what, as you said that, I was thinking, okay, you know, that it was given to us the love for the truth. But you know what? I think that we can lose it.
You can turn against.
Yeah.
It's still
there. Even though it was given to you, on Sunday I shared the parable of the sword. I mean, the seed is growing and it looks good for a while, so you got love for the truth, but then the deceitfulness of riches, the love, the desires of other things, like besides the truth, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment, and I'm only speaking from personal salvation or revelation. I really like the once saved, always saved. I really like the once saved, always saved doctrine.
Yeah.
It is so easy.
Yeah.
And that's why I get up and blather all the time about it. It's a race you can't win. It has no ending. You have to do this to your last breath. Why? Because it is once saved, always saved. I mean, and it's our nature to want to cop out, find the easy way. You know, I did three nice things and now I'm in. And nothing could change that. So now I don't have to worry anymore. It's just human nature.
But you know what? You know, yeah, the easy way, also that is not really the easy way. If people only knew.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
And people like to tell themselves that so they feel better at night, but it's, you know, meditate day and night. Doesn't leave a lot of free time.
No.
You know.
And God, you know what? God really didn't expect us to have free time.
No.
Meditate daily, meditate nightly. No, you know, not 24/7. You can't.
Nope.
I can't think of anything that I can think on for 24 hours a day on one subject, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have that capability.
I'm with you. I can't even think about eating that much. Or fishing or hunting or whatever else you want to throw.
Curling
or whatever else you want to throw.
You know, yeah. Give me an example. I used to go up to Canada. We'd go up for 5-7 days. Fish every day. You know what? You get tired of fishing and you actually got sick of fishing because you were doing it for that many days straight.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't become enjoyable.
Right.
You know, that's mm-hmm. nothing here or there, but I'm just saying, that's, if you do the same thing every day, mm-hmm. but you can't, and still, I can't do the praying and the thing 24/7.
Right.
You know,
I know. I don't think that, yeah, day and night, you know, yes, you know, during the day and during the night.
Right, do it daily and nightly.
Yeah, but I mean, the apostles, you know, they had jobs. I mean, Paul had a job. You know, he was renting a house. I mean, he had a job. Now, everything that you do as in unto the Lord. So even if you're fishing or if you're working or if you're whatever, do it as if you were doing it unto the Lord. So you're always in that Lord, in that
right.
with God. Even if you, okay, that's it. Just an example, you know, I lay tile. So, okay. I lay tile as if I was doing it unto the Lord. Now, so, but then I forget about the Lord and mixing cement and gotta do math or whatever. But I'm still doing it unto the Lord, you know. And so, just, you know, day and night. Now, in order to help the day and night thing, now, we gotta remember, if we take God's word in as much as we could, then because it's in, then it kind of keeps, it's kind of like when you push a kid on the swing, you push him once, you know, and then the thing keeps swinging for a little bit, still swinging, even though you're not pushing it, you know, so you gotta keep pushing the kid, you gotta keep listening so the thing keeps in you, swinging inside, you know.
Yeah,
good one. So, that's, you know, so instead of pushing the swing, you're,
yeah.
If you're pushing the swing, if you're doing something else, then that something else is going to become whatever's.
Charlie's in trouble,
you know. The spirit of Charlie. The spirit of Charlie is still here.
Yeah.
Another word, picture.
There's an Old Testament scripture, and not probably the word said, but it says, that he will keep those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed upon him.
That's a nice way. That's a more, what would you say, a more feasible way of saying, well, having it.
Isn't that what's happening to it?
Yeah, your mind stayed on the Lord. So whenever you can, you're thinking on the Lord.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we still have to.
Not there yet.
We still have things we have to do, but.
Right.
You know?
But I mean, in a similar subject, you know, Jesus says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So Jesus wants you to have an abundance of the things of God, you know. It also says, in the same line, it says, the eye is the lamp of the lamp of the body is the eye. So whatever you put in front of your eye is what goes inside of you. So if do you want to know what's inside you, then look around you. You know what I mean? So if you're looking at God's word more, let's say, then that's what's in you. But then if you're looking at the wall, then wall is what the same. A wall is what you have inside you. So in order for meditate day and night, you need to also, you know, focus on the things of the Lord, which is the Word, as much as possible. You know what I mean? I said, if your eye is bad or evil, then how great is that darkness? So, you know, So we have to keep our eye on the things of the Lord. And you know what? These days, even accidentally, your eye goes evil. You know what I mean? You can't help it. You know, I mean, there are some places where there's swear words and, you know, pornography, the things that you can't, you know what I mean? There's, you know, all kinds of stuff just around us, you know. Of course, now, you know, what do we do?
Doesn't say the eye is the window to the soul?
What's that again?
The eye is the window to the soul?
Yeah.
He's saying somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's. Yeah. I know that. I've heard it.
I have too.
Is it from the Bible or is it just something?
I don't know.
It probably does say it somewhere in the Old Testament.
Sounds like a Proverbs.
Yeah.
Psalms.
Proverbs.
Yeah. But it doesn't make sense though. I mean, you can tell on people's eyes. You know.
I mean, when you look at somebody and you can just about tell sometimes what people are thinking just by the way they show their eyes are looking at you or something, you know what I mean? Which kind of opens up that window.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to kill me.
You know,
I don't think it's in the Bible.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'm not finding it either.
Mm-hmm. You know. Well, I know I heard it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard it too.
I know.
You know, Glenn, you were saying, you know, you just can't continue on doing the same thing, fishing, da-da-da-da.
Well,
after
that
a while.
Because that's...
No, I think it was a great analogy, but I was just thinking about that and then thinking about our 20-odd-year quest in searching the Word and how that doesn't seem to get old. And how special that is. Because it's never, despite what people say, it's never the same.
It's such a, that it gets more, you get more hungry for it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the more you know, the more you want to know. And the more you realize you don't know.
You know, the scripture says something about an evil eye, you know. Yeah, give him the New Testament only speaks a bit about something about, like, you know, don't give an evil eye or somebody. There's got to be something in the Old Testament about an evil eye. I don't even know what an evil eye is. It's got to be like a, I hate you kind of deal. I don't know what that is.
I think I've seen that a few times. My wife is mad at me.
Yeah.
I know that's not what you're referring to.
No. I think it's like a witchcraft thing, you know, even an evil eye, whatever.
Eli. I don't know how this came about, but he wanted to know what I was going to if I were to make any New Year resolutions. And I don't know if he asked me or someone, I heard about it. And I thought about it. I said, yeah, I'm going to. And the resolution is, and I had Angel, I said, put it on your Facebook. And that her grandfather's going to make his New Year's resolution is going to be that he's going to take Luke 11:13 seriously and ask God to fill him with the Holy, fill him to keep filling him with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, in the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel was told to prophesy to the bones, the dry bones. And so, that's what we're, and so he said, hear the word of the Lord, and that's what we're doing. And something's starting to happen to us. Our spirits are coming together, our lives are changing. And after we came together, and there was a unity in this group of bones, when they came together, and then he said, okay, now Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind, pneuma, the spirit. Come from the four corners of the earth and breathe upon these that were slain. And it says, and so when he did, when the Spirit did, they stood on their feet, an exceeding great and mighty army. What we need to do is do what Luke 11:13 says, and keep asking God for the Spirit. Just ask Him. You know, don't be disappointed if nothing much happens, but just keep asking Him. He said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? How much? How much do you get? What difference does it make? He can just let Him decide that. But what will happen, I have been under the anointed side. And I've been under the other side. You know what I mean? I've been on both sides. And when the Spirit was really on us, out in the beginning of the chapel, it was a glorious, wonderful, awesome experience. There were people healed, but there were more than that. There was lots of people that came to the Lord. I talked to Joey Wagenius. He called me yesterday. And the thing is, see, he was there. He was back in the beginning. And he's just a little guy. But funny, you know what a soul is? A fish. It's called a soul. You know what they are?
A fish. Yes.
Yeah. SOLE. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, Joey and his dad were out fishing one night, and when we saw him, and Joanne asked him, she said, "Well, what are you fishing for?" And he said, "Well, we were fishing for souls." And she said, "Well, you get doing a lot more of that here pretty soon." But anyway, he had a good conversation. But there was an anointing, and that's what's coming. All hell's going to break loose, but there's also that anointing of God is going to come upon a people who are word ready. I want that word in me so strong that when God says, open your mouth and I'll speak, they can do it, you know? It's coming. Right now we're feeling a little bit kind of out of it maybe or whatever, but it's coming. And even my old age is not going to be a factor. I tell you what happened this morning. I got up and with perfect balance. I got in the shower and I took a shower without even grabbing a hold of anything. It's not there right now, but I had it for a couple hours this morning. Mm-hmm. I could walk anywhere, do anything. I was just perfect balance. You know what that tells me? He could if he wanted to. And I'm not upset because he didn't or doesn't. God knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows why. And it might be to my disadvantage if it, all of a sudden I was stabilized, you know?
Yeah, you might go out just fishing all the time or something.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, 24/7.
Yeah.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
But anyways, Brittany's making me a bunch of those. Did you see that little sign thing? Out of Sir John? He's going to make me about 25 or 30 of them. And I got people I want to send them to, and I'm going to put a little, some notes on the side of it. But, you know, for instance, well, we could talk about that next week.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to call it quits. Good night. We love you.